Reborn out of disaster, four survivors rose again to form a legion of the world's strangest heroes. Da-da-da-doom Patrol!
Everyone, and welcome to the Doom Podcast. I still can't say that right. It's a work in progress, folks.
That's right.
My name is Scott Coles, and
I am Murray Fox, and we are going to be bringing you the adventures of the Doom Patrol week after week.
The greatest adventures of the Doom Patrol.
That's right. The greatest from my greatest adventure.
Right. Uh-huh. Starting in the 60s, and if we run out of those, well, we'll
head we'll into just the keep on 70s moving. That's the 80s right. And
keep on going.
That's right. Right into the Grant Morrison weirdness.
If we made it as far as the Grant Morrison Patrol, but you never know.
That's right. There's
one lives in hope.
Yeah, exactly. We hope to get to the weirdness that is Mr. Morrison
before 2012, and you know, we all die.
We all have our own little doom.
Kablooey.
That's right. The big kablam.
So how did you first get into the Doom Patrol, Murray?
I think it was those DC Digest from, I don't know, back in the 80s. I'm pretty sure I picked one up and it was starring the Doom Patrol. And yeah, I kind of read through it and thought they were pretty cool. And then I just kind of kept an eye out for them over the years. First I had to find comic shops and back issue bins and stuff, but
yeah.
Then I just started diving in and would pick them up bit by bit. How about you?
I'm trying to remember, and the first one that I remember was reading the old Showcase issues where the new team was forged out of the old bum 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 bum. You know.
Yeah, I can't remember. I want to say I read them, but I remember seeing their covers. Like, I would flip through issues, and I can picture that Showcase cover like nothing. So I'm sure I must have seen it and at least read one of them.
Yeah, I think I say, and I went from there, and I was like, oh, wow, the previous iteration of this team got killed? That's awesome.
That was a cool thing.
I mean, back then, that was, you know, the late 70s. I was like, holy cow, that never happens. How'd that work? So I had to go back and find them.
Yeah.
And it was all in from there. Exactly. Anytime I saw the Doom Patrol, I picked it up. DC Comics Presents, and eventually in their own series there.
Yeah, that would have been probably the next time. They would have had the Blue Ribbon Digest, and then, yeah, they showed up in DC Comics Presents with Ambush Bug and... Mm-hmm. Then I think they started doing stuff in Secret Origins, and they started giving them a little showcase here and there. Yeah.
Well, they did the team up with Supergirl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Then they went into the Secret Origins, and then they started their own series.
I think you're right too with the
Steve Lytle and Steve Paul Kupperberg.
Yes, for a little while, and then.
Yeah, who was it? Eric for like three issues. Yeah.
And then Eric Larson.
Yeah. I think he lasted six issues, actually, Steve Lytle did.
Yeah, I think so. He did that first full story.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy could draw, too.
Yeah.
But he's no Premiani.
He absolutely is not.
He's a monster.
He's amazing. The stuff that he does is so cool. Like, it's got a real different flavor than the other other things you would see from DC at that time. Like, it just, I don't know, it's got a real kind of, I don't know, I guess European flavor, kind of, almost.
Very much.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you look at, I don't know, you look at the clothes they're wearing and the towns they get put in, and it's I don't know. It's timeless, kind of. It's
well, he's originally from Italy, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Until his political cartoon got him driven out by Mussolini, and he had to go to Argentina.
And he's on the run.
You gotta love that.
No kidding. He's his own little outcast there.
You always hear from artists how hard it is to draw horses. Yes. Bruno did a whole book on horse illustration called El Caballo.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. Yeah, he's like he's like a horse artist premier, man.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Anyway, his stuff is beautiful and would look good on any comic today or then.
Oh, no kidding. Awesome. Yeah, great, great stuff. I don't know what happened to him, though. Like, after Doom Patrol, I don't know where he went, or I guess he went back to...
That's a good question. Mm-hmm.
A mystery to
I suppose if we were smarter chaps, we would have even researched it and stuff. Yeah. Well, we'll save it for the next
That'll episode. Be for next week. Yeah, we'll you can all hang on. That's right.
Showcase. Right.
Yeah, because Arnold Drake is the other. He is
the writer.
The writer, yes.
Of course.
Yeah,
so today we're going to go, let's do it.
Yeah, let's dive right in there. My all Greatest right. Adventure, issue 80, from June 1963. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And we've got the cover with...
It's a pretty awesome cover.
I know. It's one of those classic covers.
Their asses kicked by an old man.
That's right. And like totally old. Wrinkly.
Prune face.
He's like a Dick Tracy villain.
He is. He's very much like a Dick Tracy villain.
Yes. It's awesome. So we got that cover. We got General Immortus zapping the team and gloating. Yep.
Larry's negative man body getting all crackled up. That's so cool.
It is. It's awesome. And we've got Robot Man and, well, I guess he's not Robot Man yet. Automaton.
Yeah. Calling him Automaton.
Automaton and little Elastigirl in the corner there.
Yeah. Arnold Drake was even like, oh, Automaton. What was I thinking?
I know. It'd be a couple of issues before he figures that out.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because in the book, they never, I don't even think in this first issue, well, I guess we'll find out as we get into it, but
they rarely say his name anyway.
No, they're never, they're never codenamed. Like, I mean, eventually the public starts calling them by their codenames, but they're always Cliff, Larry, Rita, the chief.
Which I like that about them.
Yeah, it was cool. It wasn't, again.
Secret identity.
Yeah.
Sissies.
Secret schmeekrit. Nobody likes us anyway, so.
Yeah, I guess that's the beauty of not having any friends is you don't have to worry about your enemies going after them.
That's right. Oh, all right.
Cliff does have family. He's got a brother.
Really?
Yeah, he shows up, well, way later in the...
I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah,
The second reboot of the Doom Patrol.
Okay. Oh, I had totally forgotten about that.
John Arcudi one.
Oh, right.
I don't know if he's come up before that, but I know at the very least he's in that one.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I had forgotten.
Anyway, back to the story.
All right. So, let's take it away here. Do you want to...
You go ahead and I'll just chime in if I feel
like something. All righty. So, we've got a splash page with the chief in a spotlight. They like their spotlights in.
Oh, yeah, it's very dramatic.
It's very dramatic. Sitting in his spotlight, he, in the substructure of a stately building in a bustling city.
It's funny. That's kind of like that. You ever see that old Bugs Bunny cartoon where he ends up getting the best of the construction guy and he's got to build around him so there's the little...
That's it. You got this little...
Buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what his house looks like. It's like two skyscrapers on either side, like wedged right up against it. No alleys, no nothing.
No, and this...
this little house.
Two-floor home, exactly.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yes. So we got Chief, and we've got these three shadowy figures, and he's telling them, you three are the victims of a cruel and fantastic fate. I summoned you here to give you the opportunity to cheat that fate by offering you the chance to experience adventures more incredible than any humans have ever known.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He knows how to lay the talk down, that Chief does.
Yeah, he's all about the drama. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're all, what do you want? I don't want to play you here. I shouldn't have come here.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
wine.
They're all in their poor me face.
Yeah.
And he tells them, of course, you don't need to know who I am. My name's not important. I know all about each of you. I know you've all become quitters, outcasts. He's a real...
lousy in bed. What? Hey, that was uncalled for.
Yeah, he's a real cheerleader, that guy.
Yeah, he's happy.
That's right. What would you know about the terrible things we've experienced? I'm leaving. And the chief is off. Sit down. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You aren't the only ones to whom life has dealt a harsh blow. And he rolls his little wheelchair out into the light. And they're all, you know, a wheelchair. Oh, oh.
Gasp.
Of course, you know exactly.
If this were a Legion comic, there would be a choke.
That's right. There's definitely a choke in there. So, of course, he can totally understand what they're going through because he's, you know, in a wheelchair. And that's completely...
It's exactly
too.
Like having your pants planted into a robot.
Exactly, exactly.
everyone in a wheelchair I've ever talked to said, it's exactly like that.
It's exactly like being
having
in
superpowers.
That's right. So he tells them, he has a handicap, but he's conquered it with his brain. He's mastered every field of knowledge, and he uses that brain to go on adventures with his mind. And, But there are adventures that he's, of course, unable to participate in. Catastrophes that need to be checked, evil to be fought, people to be helped. And that's why I need you. And, of course, the three are still whining.
Whine, 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 no, dag, I want dag, out. Dag.
This is upsetting me. I want to leave.
He's like, oh, yeah?
That's right. Boom, goes the spotlight on her. That's right. And we meet Rita Farr, a beautiful face. But inside, she's been marked by disaster. And then we get the flashback with, you know, we need our little flashback music here. Don't question how I know these things. And the chief starts to relate her little origin.
I've been creepily spying on you your entire life.
That's right. I've been watching you.
That's not creepy at all.
No, not at all. That he's like early form of the paparazzi or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's just
choir. Yeah.
Because she is, after all, a movie star.
She is. She is a famous movie star. And it happened when she was in a movie in Africa. She insisted on performing her own dangerous stunt work. And so she's in a scene where she's going to be chased by a crocodile, and she's told to be careful, but she doesn't need to worry. She's an Olympic gold medalist, swimmer, and of course, crocodiles have no, they could care, they're, yeah, not a big deal to them. So she's swimming along and, of course, gets chased by a crocodile and gets stuck in a strong current, which sweeps her over a waterfall like a helpless leaf. And what does it say here? At the she crashes down there, but her nimble body and her aquatic skills enabled her to survive that incredible plunge over the waterfall, but she finds these strange vapors all around her at the bottom of the waterfall, and she's breathing in this weird gas, which causes her to collapse. And they take her to the local witch doctor, or I guess the local African hospital, where she's in a coma for a couple of days. And when she wakes up, she's, you know, totally ready to go back to her filming, but she has a little bit of a problem there because suddenly she's like 50 feet tall. She has stretched and become a giant. And she's, of course, a little concerned about the super growing. And just as she grows, she, of course, starts to shrink and, you know, is the size of a little thimble, I guess, and they can carry her around in her hands. So naturally that kind of puts a crimp in her acting plans.
See, no, I don't understand that. What's the big deal? It's not like she was horribly disfigured or something.
No, she's still a beautiful woman. She's just, you know, 50 feet tall sometimes, or...
I guess the attack of the 50-foot woman had already been made, so...
Yeah. It was, like, right in everyone's memory. We
come
don't
on,
want that
remake,
again.
Remake? Come on. No. They weren't big on remakes back in the 60s, I guess.
No. They needed another 30 years or so. She was out of her time. Obsessed. That's right. So, the chief tells her that the witch doctor supplied an answer and told them that the underground chemical vapors that she breathed on the bank of the falls were the cause of her incredible expansion and reduction. Yes, she had to give up her career because
she couldn't control her
growing and her shrinking, and she gave up her career out of shame and fear. But now she's learned to control that strange power, and she can end her self-exile.
Sweet.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, someone new steps into the limelight because, you know, they need their time in the sun, too.
Oh, yes.
And we see, like, a mummy man all wrapped up in bandages with, like, an ascot or something around his neck.
He looks like the Invisible Man, your typical H.G. Wells.
He does, very swanky with the...
The cravat the fancy. Of the ascot, or whatever you call that.
Yeah,
I think you're right, I think it's an ascot.
Yeah, he's very, mummy posh. Man, but yeah, mummy man with posh. Yeah, he's got style. So he tells
Burn
the chief.
Victim couture.
That's right. You know everything, don't you? But you don't know if we want to face the public again. And the chief tells him, I know all about you too, Larry Traynor. I know how and why you became an outsider, a strange one.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. He says, disaster struck you as you tested the K2F, the experimental rocket plane that flew higher than any manned aircraft had ever gone. And of course, just as it's reaching like the peak of its trip, the gyro controls jam and he's stuck going beyond maximum altitude into suborbit. He loses ground contact. He blacks out and the jet kind of skims through this uncharted wave belts of inner space and then starts to crash down into the desert. And
this is sort of a somewhat like a Fantastic Four kind of thing. He was bathed
that's right,
in cosmic
rays.
Energies up in the stratosphere.
That's right. Marvel's got the copyright on cosmic rays, so we'll call
that's
it
right.
Uncharted Wave Belts. That's right. So he crash lands and kind of crawls himself out. And as he crawls out, he sees that there's this other plane in the sky coming to, I guess, rescue him.
Yep.
But there's a bit of a problem there. Only one wheel has come down and the pilot doesn't know it and the plane will crash and then they'll have two planes wrecked.
Does the pilot really not know it? I mean, don't they have instruments for that kind of thing?
You know, it was the 60s. Maybe he was a little...
Oh, that's true. He's probably drunk.
A little tipsy behind the wheel, you know.
Because that was okay back then.
That's
so many
right.
damn planes in the air.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But have no fear. All of a sudden, there's this strange duplicate energy thing kind of slipping out of Larry's body. And it flies up, grabs the stuck wheel, pulls it down on the plane, and... the plane lands safely.
Yay!
That's right. And the chief tells Larry, I can only speculate, but unknown wave belts bombarding your body floating in space without adequate protection are what created that bizarre being, that negative man.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's right, he's been named. He gets a name. Perhaps, but what you don't realize is that while negative man functions, I'm barely conscious, and if he doesn't return within 60 seconds, I die. How'd you like
how
to live with
that?
I know.
Did you die already? Is that how you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder how he figured these
he's
things out.
He's awful sure about it. That's
right.
What bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this is the only part that gets sketchy for me about Premiani's art, is the way he does the negative man thing, where he just sort of wraps the whole face in bandages and then just draws eyes. And
draws eyes
over
and
top
a mouth.
Of it. It makes it look a little hokey, but it works.
Yeah, it works. But you're right, it's a little, I don't know, eye slits cut in the bandages. Who knows?
Yeah, something.
But we find out that Larry can control negative man with his will, and he can use those great powers now for good instead of retreating from life like you've done. And Larry's
he's like,
still,
no, where?
I'm not doing it. Nothing on earth will make me change my mind, and I'm not eating my vegetables either.
Yeah, you're not the boss of me.
That's right.
You're not the chief of me.
That's right. Not yet.
Not yet.
Give him a few more pages.
Yeah.
And then we get the last little outcast who steps into the light, and we see he's a robot.
Dun, 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 dun.
I know. Good heavens, he's not human. He's a robot. And this guy's having none of... Chief telling the story, he's like, you know what, I'll tell you my story myself.
That's right.
I used to be human, I was Cliff Steele, I was a daredevil in search of excitement and danger. And on a European track, while I was rounding a killer curve in my own souped-up special, scree, there's a horrible crash, and
You know, it doesn't look like he was belted in at all.
No, he's just like, kind of.
I wonder why he got hurt.
Well, he's a daredevil, you know. Like,
I guess.
Seatbelts are for sissies.
Always wear your seatbelts, kids.
That's right. He was wearing a helmet, however, and that's what saved his brain, I'm sure.
That's right. Good thing.
So he wakes up in a hospital room, sort of, and he sees these kind of fuzzy faces saying, "It's hopeless, his brain's not damaged, but his body's beyond repair. There's one man that might save him, one surgical wizard, if we can contact him in time."
Wizard, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Dumbledore to the rescue.
And the next thing he knows, he wakes up and he finds he's a robot. He's staring at his little metal hands and he's a little freaked out there that he's one big golden ball of metal.
See, and then right in that next panel, he says, "I'm a robot man."
That's right. I know, Arnold Drake could have been like, oh.
It's like, oh, robot stupid, man. It's right there.
That's right. That alone is what remains of Cliff Steele. And he doesn't quite give up on life yet. He thought he would continue to try to compete, but we see him trying to ski, and nobody wants to play with him. That's right.
Because he's a robot, and he has an unfair advantage.
That's right. You'd think, though. That's right. You'd think he'd kind of like sink in the snow or something with that.
Well, he'd definitely go faster than anybody else in the downhill ski, man. He'd have the momentum just.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so they're all outcasts. They're all bitter. They're all a little cranky. And Chief puts on his little pep rally suit and says, "You forget in your self-pity how unique you all are. You're invulnerable to most dangers. You're unbelievably strong, and your living brain still thrills to your five senses." Really? He's still got the five senses.
I thought
I'm thinking he probably can't taste much or touch much, but...
Yeah. He has them, they're just not as good as they used to be.
That's right. That is right. And this is where we learn that the chief was the one that performed the surgery on Cliff, he says.
Yeah.
I was that surgeon. And everyone is like, oh, wow, ooh, incredible. And Robot Man says, it must be him. He operated from his wheelchair. That's why he seemed so short to me.
Right.
That would do it. So he brings them down into his headquarters.
Takes them on the tour of the headquarters.
Right. That's right. We get a weapons and demolition room. We get a map room. And then he brings them into the nerve center. A great big, huge computer room with, like, I don't know, ray guns and buttons.
And like a 102-inch plasma screen. Look at that thing.
No kidding. He was like totally way ahead of the flat screen before anyone else.
And unless it's not a flat screen, it's just built into a whole other room beside that one.
That's right.
Where the TV is, the back of the TV.
That's right.
That'd be pretty sweet too.
Yes, yeah. So this is his nerve center, and he can instantly be in contact with any place on Earth when disaster strikes. And coincidentally enough, disaster strikes.
Quiet, please. This special TV is automatically activated at the world's words flash bullet.
That's right.
Which I guess was big back then. I don't know. I haven't heard it on Fox News at all. But
but suddenly, yeah, that's what we get. A flash bulletin and then a big as the TV whirs up. And we learn that there is going to be a time bomb on the North Street Pier that could go off at any moment. The police are beginning to evacuate the entire area. And they take a camera crew there to kind of film all the blowing up and exploding.
Of course.
That's right. The bomb is hidden.
It leads, Murray.
That's right. The bomb is hidden in a crate, but detectors have failed to locate that deadly missile. And so the chief is all, "Larry, this is a job for your other half, Negative Man. Only he can reach the docks and locate that bomb in time with this new type of detector I invented. Will you help me in this emergency?" And for all his complaining, he's like, right, why sure. So we get to see, that's right, Zoom. Negative Man zooms off holding the chief's little secret invention.
And they watch him when the TV shows up.
That's right. That's why the TV people are there.
10 seconds and he was there. That's pretty fast.
That is quick. So, and like Within 20 seconds, he's found the bomb. He races it back to the headquarters. And just in time for the chief to study that bomb. And he tells us all that it's a new type of plastic explosive with a special timer inside. Deactivating it by normal methods would set it off. Rita, I'm going to have to ask you to volunteer now. Da-da-da-da. That's right. And she doesn't even think, she doesn't take a second thought. She just shrinks down, steps into the bomb, and the chief kind of directs her around, and she gets ready to pull all the little cords that she needs to pull.
Yep.
But just on the off chance that it might explode, the Cliff grabs the bomb and kind of cuddles it up to his chest there so that if it does explode, nobody's going to get Rita bits all over them.
That's right. The formerly human shield.
That's right. He's the shield. Anyway, she finds the little lever she needs to find, and she pushes it and loosens it and pulls it out, and with a big clunk, the bomb is deactivated. Yay! Chief tells her she's a good girl. She gets like a little pat on the head. And
the cookie?
That's right. That's right. And with the bomb being deactivated, suddenly everyone is like, ooh, we can contribute. We can be awesome.
We do rock. We're totally cool.
That's right. So they decide, you know, after patting each other's backs, everyone helped. Ooh, we're That's a team. Right. Don't forget Cliff, who was ready to destroy himself by muffling that bomb. And you were the most important. You're the brain, all right. You see That's what right. this means? The experience has given me hope for the first time. The same goes for you, too. Why can't we just continue? Well, boys, what do you say? Are we a team dedicated to adventure anywhere, anytime? And, of course, at that moment, a unique band is born. And they Yay. All are.
Good for them.
Go, team.
And that was only chapter one, folks. There's a whole nother chapter to this story.
That is right. That is right. Three pages later, we get the challenge of the Timeless Commander. And there we really get to see, like, that's just an awesome picture.
He's so old.
He's more wrinkles than anything else. He's got wrinkles in this beady little eye. And
big old man nose and big old man ears.
In a big general suit with these big gold
I love General shoulder pads. He's such an awesome villain. He's just like... ridiculous, but scary because he's so old.
He is. He's
yeah. Old people are kind of scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we find out that the team has been watched, and they're being watched, of course, by this old man, this General Immortus. And
there's a lot of high-tech stalking going on in these stories.
No kidding.
Chief stalking them, and he's That's stalking right. the chief.
Yeah, they're all about the... secret it's like spy
the real
camps.
World before the real world.
That's true. This is like reality TV.
That's right. That's all he does is watch the chief sit around his house and have toast.
Yeah, it would take a couple of years before they threw in the idea. Oh, we need bikinis. Bikinis
and do something. Oh, okay.
That's right. That's right.
Let's make him eat pies until he throws up. Awesome. Okay.
Alrighty, so we get General Immortus, and he's watching the chief, who is showing the team this experimental rocket. And he tells them
everything's experimental.
Yeah, everything's experimental.
It was
secret.
The 60s. Experimental.
That's right. So there was this alien spaceship that landed on Earth, and it has to remain a secret because it contains the most deadly device ever dreamed of.
There you go.
That's right. And now.
So, of course, the old man wants it.
That's right. Secret? Oh, I want it. It's mine.
Yep. Yep.
So the narrator asks who this seemingly ageless man is, and we're told it's going to be the challenge of the Timeless Commander.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we listen to the chief tell the team
Ramble
that
on
yeah,
and
he
on
goes
and
on and on. Big important device inside the ship, and if no one gets it, you know, nuclear tests. Goodbye, Earth. Kablamo.
Yep.
Yep.
Turns out he's got spy robots, drones that go out and take pictures for him.
That's right. He doesn't just stalk the movie stars. He's stalking everything.
Stalk science, movie stars. He is a renaissance man of stalking.
That's right.
He is the Leonardo da Vinci of stalking.
That's right. He's he's got.
Wherever you are, he can find you. Chief is still around. He could have found his Saddam Hussein like that.
No kidding. That's right. That whole war would have been done in like a day. Alrighty, so let's see. The chief tells the team that there's only one man who would stop at nothing to get his hands on this device. He possesses the most dangerous criminal mind alive. His power is worldwide and beyond estimating. Listen, and he's about to go on, but of course by this point General Immortus is like, I've had enough. Click.
I've heard all this stuff before.
I've heard this before, that's right. He's always going on about me. Blah, blah, blah.
He loves me.
So General Immortus gets his... all his agents around the world ready to go. He's got
it's very Goldfinger, that's you know, right. Dr. No, something like that.
That's right. He's got microphones going. That's right. So Rome checks in and Tokyo checks in and everyone's checking in. And while they're doing that, the Doom Patrol is speeding off to the desert to find this strange experimental rocket. And sure enough, before long, they land their plane, they find the rocket, and... out of the rocket comes strange alien space things.
Tank.
A big tank.
Weird tank with a...
with an eyeball.
Very phallic eyeball on top.
That's right. That's right. It comes zooming towards the team and...
shooting concussive blasts, some sort of ray cannon.
Zap, zap, zap everywhere. There's no way to beat it. Oh, no, sorry. The chief says no. There is a way to beat it.
Oh, well, good thing.
There we go. So he sends Negative Man after the tank, and he kind of wraps himself around that big pink eyeball.
That's all sorts of creepy.
I know. It really is.
It's like he's trying to do some tantric sex with it or something.
I know. Yeah, yeah. We'll just move right on.
Stare into my eye. Oh, yeah.
So he's blocking the eye. Rita does the 50-foot woman thing again.
Yep.
And
pulls the cannon off.
That's right. She just rips that cannon off, pulls off the death dealing laser zappers.
Yeeper.
And once the once everything's safe, Larry or Negative Man zooms back into Larry's body. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately,
and then, of course, something else comes out.
Yeah, right out of its ass, a freezing gun.
He's cannon.
And suddenly everyone is frozen right to the ground. Except for Cliff, who has decided, you know, he's a robot. He's
very strong.
He's strong. He's not going to let any freeze gas stick him to the ground. So he keeps moving on and struggles through and just kind of jams his fist right into the freeze ray, causing it to explode. Yes, great big kablam. He's knocked back, and he's, of course, saved the team.
And as will become a theme in these stories, one of his arms is now immobilized.
That's right.
It's no good anymore.
That's right. He's got a gimpy arm right now.
And his left leg is a little bit gimpy as well.
Yeah, he's all...
That's the great thing about him. He's always getting the crap beat out of him, and it's okay because... his head's the only part that's important.
That's right. But Larry is like, he's all concerned. The explosion banged up your arm, but don't worry. That's the advantage of having a body like yours. No bones to get set. You're going to be fine. Shake it off, big guy.
Walk it off, princess.
That's right. Your left leg, your arm, they're all shorted out, but a little soldering iron and you're going to be fine, you big metal Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. Yeah. This was like the first DC super team that like didn't like each other all that much most of the time.
I know, they're always jabbering snarking away at each other.
It's common nowadays, but back then in the 60s.
No, especially like for DC. No, you never saw that. It was like...
it was like, ho, 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 let's fight the bad guys and go have milk.
That's that's right. And then slide down a bat pole.
Yeah. Before and after.
Alrighty, so they're all...
They penetrate the ship.
Yeah, they slide right in there. And Cliff grabs his... grabs something. He uses his one good arm. That's right. That's what they're after. They're after the atomic converter. He pulls it down with his one good arm, and then both him and Larry kind of carry it out. And while they're doing this alien ship is trying to repair itself. And They get outside just in time for Immortus and his two twin chauffeurs to drive up. In, yeah, one more tank, because there's nothing this story doesn't need that.
It's more tanks.
It's more tanks, that's right. So he drives up with the tank and zaps gimpy old Cliff, who's immobilized once again. Yes. Polarization ray. He's zapped and he falls down. He's having a rough day. And let me see. That, of course, means that Immortus is able to get into the rocket ship. And this is where we get the cover scene where he starts to zap Negative Man.
He starts breaking up.
That's right. He's all, the radio energy is all crackly. But, unknown to Immortus, little Rita has hidden herself inside of Cliff. And so now she crawls out of his little, crawls out of his eardrum.
Oh, his eardrum, okay.
Or something, yeah. And sneaks on over and turns off the polarization ray so that Cliff is free to move around again, and he makes short work of the chauffeurs. Gives him a whap and body slams old General Immortus there.
Yeah.
With only 3 seconds left for poor old Negative Man.
Gives him the old hacksaw Jim Duggan tackle there.
And down he goes and he crunches all
the ray gun.
The ray guns, that's right.
Break up Larry.
That's right, and Larry and Cliff run the atomizer, the doohickey. They run it outside.
The atomic converter.
That's right. They get the atomic converter, they run it outside, and unfortunately, poor old General Immortus is stuck in the ship, which has just
closed its doors,
finished its repairs, and decided to take off back for wherever it came from.
And
suddenly, Immortus starts to hit the buttons and try to control the plane, but unfortunately, it slams right into a mountain in a great big kablamo. And
yep. Well, it looks like that's the end of General Immortus.
That's the end of General Immortus.
Sure it is.
For sure. That's the end. But
and they're all like, oh, we made a pretty good team.
We made a pretty good team. Larry starts to put the moves on Rita.
A robot man cock blocks him and
that's right.
Tells him what a jerk he is.
That's enough of that. That's right. Yeah. And Rita's all business.
Like, hey,
she's
relax,
like,
guys. You're both no good for me.
That's right. I want nothing to do with you.
That's right. She's all about the chief.
That's
his
right.
Sexy, sexy beard.
His sexy beard and that wheelchair 3,000 miles away. And of course, they have their happy little moment at the end. And
they read the paper and it says, amazing victory of
the Doom Patrol. That's right. They get their name and they get their team, and that's that.
Thus a saga begins.
That's right. The first of many.
Sooner or later, we will have all sorts of ways for you to get a hold of us, should you so desire.
That's right. And in the meantime, we'll be back next week with the very next adventure, where we might have a little more information.
One after the other, just like walking.
That's right. Boom, boom, boom. So we'll, I guess we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.